about 7:15, we have here present Finance Committee members, Bob Monroe, Rhea Klein, Ashley Phelan, Bob Mora, and Amanda Gordon, and myself, Ross Lally. We are all physically present in the room. We have joining us remotely our board clerk, and we also have Kristen Heck, Superintendent of Schools, and we have Jim Rupert, who is the town administrator, also attending remotely. So having called the meeting to order, I'm going to go on to public participation, and I do not see any members of the public present in this room unless somebody else is seeing them and they're hiding in the cubicles in front of me. And I do not see any others joining us online, so I will move past public participation. So go on to ongoing business, and as you know, the budget failed last night by, let me look up, 50 votes, and I will just go to my photos and I can tell you the exact numbers.
52.
There's 453 yes to 502 no. So it was a difference of
51?
50, no, 50, whatever the heck it was.
Yeah,
51.
51.
Yeah.
51 votes. And so here we are. And what we need to do is take a look at our 2024-2025 revenues and expenditures, and basically then make a guess at what we need to consider and act on with the, you know, with the ballot question. And I will, you know, take it from there to open to suggestions, because we have to, under the charter, find some way to reduce the, basically reduce the budget ask overall.
So,
and before we go there, I just want
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's
I actually raised my hand.
Oh, you wanted to make a motion already?
No, I don't want to make a motion.
Going?
No.
No, I was just going to start by, just to help guide our conversation, some feedback that I heard at the, you know, at the polls, and I would then ask anybody else if you had feedback from your constituents, what
do
they felt.
Do you have an agenda, extra, or no?
I wrote on it, but
oh, no, that's okay.
No, this, they didn't make any, we did, for whatever reasons, we have no copies
okay.
other than the ones I made,
thank
and I didn't
sorry.
Make enough.
Do you need, I have a plenty of paper, if
yeah,
you'd like.
I'll take a piece of paper.
Oh.
I have a big book, but no.
We only really have two items on the agenda now because
okay.
the budget failed, and that is the discussion of 2024 and 25 revenues and expenditures, which then goes and leads us to what's the new amount we put on the ballot question for 2 weeks from yesterday. So feedback from the voters I talked to. One fellow didn't want to vote till he talked to me specifically. So I took off my hat and my moderator hat, went out beyond the 75-foot line with him and made sure nobody was listening, and again gave him no advice on how to vote. But he said, I haven't seen anything. I want to know where the budget information is. I said, it's all on the town website. Well, what good does that do me? Because I'm here now. And so he was just like, did the budget go up? Yes. By about 4.5% roughly. It's under inflation rate. And I said, however, the monies that we asked, you know, the taxpayers to pay business, you know, and private property owners went down by 2.73%. And so he asked, how is that possible? So let the record just show that Rodney Fournier is joining us at 7:19 and is part of our audience now. And so he didn't understand how the budget worked, and I explained to him, it's very simple. It's like, here's the stack of, you know, costs that we have for providing the services the town requests. It's this big. And then here's the monies that the town gets from grants, from, you know, but money that was left over from last year's budget, from returns from the unaudited, you know, from the audited budget from 2 years ago, et cetera. And I said, then after that amount is what we ask you and other taxpayers, myself included, to pay. And I said, so this year, we happen to have more money to be able to do that with than last year. And so he says, oh. So again, it's a case, people who actually are interested and want to know the facts, we're not getting it to them in some way or another, or they're not going to whatever we put out there. And then we have others who just felt very plainly that the, again, without going to meetings or anything, because the people who were saying these things I didn't recognize, either coming from the public hearing or being at any meetings, stating that they knew for sure that we were squandering the grand list increase in unnecessary expenses. So they interpreted grand list went up, our spending went up, even though our spending went up a tiny fraction of the increase of the grand list. And I think that kind of, you know, summarizes it, where the people came in with opinions and that we're not supportable. And I do not mind at all if people disagree with me about, you know, what we're really doing and how we do it. But it just, you know, to be honest, it gets me very frustrated and angry when people do not participate in the process and make up things in their heads and then ask me to refute it. And there's no way to refute what somebody makes up in their head other than to say, I'm sorry, you know, that's wrong. So that's kind of what I heard. So I don't know if anybody else heard anything.
Well, you could always say to that person, the lobotomy did not take it.
Yeah, so look, you know, anyway, they have their rights to however they think. So Amanda.
So someone posted on, like, so I shared, you know, the budget the day before and the day of on social media. And someone wrote, my wife and I voted no today for three reasons. One, the proposed mill rate is too high. If the town taxed everyone the same dollar amounts as last year, they would come out $700,000 ahead and no one's taxes would go up. Due to the revaluation, my wife and I were looking at a tax increase in excess of 8%. Number two, the surplus is too high. 2.3 million. Number three, the contingency fund went up 300%. Does the town anticipate an attack from Godzilla? So to that, I just responded, you know, just to be clear, like the tax burden is going down, right? I want the overall tax burden on the town we voted for is actually 3.73%, you know, less than it was last year. There were lots of comments about the school. And how particularly the roof at BCS and how it's been leaking for years, and when are we going to fix the roof? And so I chimed in and said that was on our long-term capital plan, but that it was so expensive that would need bonding. But that's part of why we put aside $400,000 so that we would go out to bond for last. People thought that $4.7 million was an incredulous amount of money, and they said we must go out and get another quote because that can't possibly be correct. I said, well, that's the cost to replace the roof, not to fix it, right? It's kind of pretty bad, so we need to replace it. And then just talking about the school and how it's not clean and yada, yada, yada. So there's this
kitchen sink. Yeah.
Yeah. There's this issue where, you know, people see things that they want to get done but aren't willing to pay for them. Or the people that are willing to pay for them either aren't coming out to vote. I mean, I know that our town is aging, so we do have fewer young folks, but it's not aging. We learned at our retreat that our town is not aging as quickly as it was anticipated to age, or as much as it was anticipated to age when we did our plan of conservation and development in 2015, so that's good. But when you have a majority of our town who are older and don't have children in the schools or on fixed incomes, it's hard to get them to come out and vote. Or some of them, right? Not all of them. Some of them to come out and vote for a budget that's largely for a school system that they feel they are not benefiting from.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Mora.
Speaking on the other side of that issue, I think, quite frankly, the folks who have had their kids go through the school system understand where it's been. I think the vast majority do support this. What I find highly discouraging is that I don't see the current parents of our school children coming forth and voting for a budget that 70% of it is to support the school system. And I find that discouraging, and even though I'm one of the seniors group that has always supported our school system, and most of them do, and there are folks.
We all went to school and benefited.
Right, so that's, to me, the issue becomes, you know, getting back, it's almost a numbers issue, because in all the years that we've been involved in this, and I've been involved in budgets and doing budgets, there's always a, well, I can't remember when there's been under 400 people who didn't vote, or who voted against it, no matter if it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 to 5.
It's around 500.
That is there, because, one, you do know that if you vote it down, it's going to get reduced. I mean, that's simple math, and as a lot of folks who.
There's charts. They used to pass with far fewer people.
Well, yeah.
In 2018, 2019, but.
But not a lot, not a lot, you're still in that bracket.
Yeah.
So it gets down to, what's it going to take to do it? What's the number, it really is, what's the number to go forward to do it?
And I was going to just to sort of piggyback off what you were saying, too, there was an interesting distribution of the no votes. Approximately two-thirds of them were from District 2, and the remainder of them were District 1. So District 2 was way more active in the negative votes than District 1. So this is, it's an interesting split. I don't know what, you know, what it does with our conversation tonight, but it's something to think about in the future, is where do we need to, look for votes to pass, to pass budgets. And how do we get people out? Yes,
feedback
Ashley.
That I've received is, I think people are having a hard time wrapping their head around the significant increase in the budget last year, the surplus, and then the revaluation.
Yes.
So
it's a lot
trying to get that through to them, I for lack of better terms, I think they view it as like not transparent.
Yes, that's right.
It is transparent. There's averages that we're using, but there's some interplay in that where people just cannot wrap their head around that. And then secondly, I have had feedback with the schools with just really focusing in on the enrollment. So understanding the proposed increase of a little over 3%, being able to tie that with contractual wages and salaries, I think we can get that, but not supporting the same number of students that we have in the past, I think they just won't support an increase like that if we're not supporting the same number of students. So that I have gotten, a lot of feedback on just the declining enrollment and how that translates to additional, increases. So I think that they would expect reductions in heads, which I don't think we're prepared to do. But big picture, that's right. But big picture, that's the feedback that I've gotten. So I did want to just share that.
Last year, I think that parents were very active.
And just for a clerk, it's Rhea Klein speaking. Oh. And that was previous, that was Ashley.
because the cuts that were discussed, and the raise was very high because it was a different situation. We were lucky this year. We had the extra money from the savings,
the unfilled positions.
Right, and unfilled positions, the interest we were getting on the revenue while we were using it up. But in any event, the board asked the superintendent to provide us with the cuts that would be required to reduce the budget ahead of time. And that really galvanized the parents to come out and vote. And I think that's why to me, that was a hard budget to take. And the fact that it passed was like surprising to me, because I'd been through 5 votes, I think maybe, that didn't happen this year. I think some people were angry about that situation, but that didn't happen this year, as far as I know.
Well, I had comments from that last vote, a lot of comments, and mostly were from folks who come out and vote no. They assumed that nobody would come out and vote for that big of an increase. I mean, the no voters that would normally come out didn't come out. Mm-hmm. That was a benefit to getting it passed. Mm-hmm. And so this year.
Now they're out.
Well, that's just it. Yeah. You know, so you're back to that strong contingent for whatever reason. I'm not questioning why you're voting for it or not, but you are. And that's life. So what's it going to take to get us over the bar, which is not going to satisfy more than a few more people?
Amanda's been trying to speak.
Oh, I'm sorry, Amanda.
I mean, no, that's all right. I just wanted to follow up on Ashley's comment about the surplus, right? So I think what people are seeing, like, you can say, well, if we didn't have the surplus, right, then the amount we would need to raise from taxes goes up. But I think their point is, if we're continuing to have surpluses year over year, are we over budgeting, essentially? Right. And should we just be slicing our budget basically by the amounts that they are, that we're coming in over? That being said, right, like, a budget, and what I say to people, right, is a budget is an estimate, right? And you cannot anticipate what slots are going to be filled, what slots are not, what contracts, you know, may or may not go up, right? Like, you make your best guess, but a budget's never going to be perfect, right? And so, like, we have to consider what the surplus is based on, you know, a percentage of the budget, I think. And, you know, I don't know what other towns' surpluses is. It might be interesting for us to see if other towns are having surpluses so that we can benchmark ourselves against other towns. And maybe I'm not speaking about the town versus Board of Ed, I'm talking overall, right?
The whole town.
Right. Because I think people are just assuming that we're not doing the job well. And I think we're probably within a standard deviation of the norm.
Could I just offer something, Ross, about the surpluses? You know, there are a lot of communities right now that are in really bad shape. They're on the news every night and they're being talked about more and more, because they put a lot of positions into their ESSER monies, and collectively we did not do that. So that is why that comparison may not be like a fair and equal kind of thing, right? Because we chose to use our money, I think, very appropriately and not put positions in it, rather things that we really needed that improved our schools.
And to clarify for the public, you mean the COVID dollars, correct?
Correct, but which is why people are going to town finance committees and asking for more money right now, because they don't have enough in their coffers to even get to the end of the year.
A good example is the town of Enfield.
Mm-hmm. Is what?
Town Enfield? Of Enfield. They've had to cut a huge amount out of their education budget because they use a lot of that money to fill those positions and whatever. And when that's gone, there's, you know, the funding has to come from another source, with an increase in taxes.
Yeah, you have to use it for one-time things. Mm-hmm. Otherwise,
you use it for, you're right, for stuff.
One-time.
That's stuff.
And
to me, it's stuff.
You know, I came into this process feeling the same way, that the surplus indicated that we were, you know, asking for too much money. And then I realized the fact that we don't really have contingency funding built into each budget specifically as such, based on some, you know, some rule of risk. We have to, you know, make sure that we do not underclub it when we do these budgets, and that you allow for more unexpected things in the actual numbers that are done. And I think people don't understand that both the Board of Selectmen and the Board of Education are doing the right thing by returning that money at the end of, you know, each fiscal year. And I think also people then fail to understand that that money goes to reducing their taxes next year. So let's say that we did what people ask and cut the budget. Miraculously, we didn't have to lay off staff or go around asking for a second round of funding. Their taxes the following year would not be, you know, would be up a little more than they expected, just because we didn't have that money, you know, to add. So it's one of those things, over time, it evens out, because we don't hide that money anywhere. It doesn't go into some magic bank account. It goes directly into covering next year's budget.
And to add to that point, so by our charter, we are obligated to take $50,000 from surplus and put it towards the rainy day fund. But that's the minimum, right? There's nothing stopping us from putting more into the rainy day fund, which will help our bond rating. But we have rolled almost all but that requiring $50,000 over as revenue into the next year to try and offset taxes for the taxpayers. And so, like, thankfully, I think we have a sufficiently, you know, good rainy day fund, but it could be better. And we're choosing to roll most of the money into next year as opposed to into our rainy day fund. So it's you know, Peter Paul kind of thing. And I don't know if everybody understands that either.
No, and it's hard to then, well, even like a couple of people that were interested, the only way that they could explain was to have a discussion about it for them to understand it. And if there is no forum for them to go to, or they choose not to come to these meetings, there's no way that they will get some of the stuff, because it was very much more complicated, as you said, Ashley. By, you know, we had that large one-time surplus, mm-hmm. we had the high interest rates, mm-hmm. and, you know, then we have the revaluation thrown in, and it makes people think.
It is very complex for 1 year, for sure. And it's very difficult to explain.
Yeah, and well, and on top of that, the budget, the way we portray the budget doc information in the official document on the very first page, all it does is, here's all the pieces of cost, here's what it adds up to. It didn't make clear this time around that, yes, this number went up from last year, but guess what? The total amount that we need to ask for taxpayers actually went down. And that's, I think that was missed, you know, in the official document.
I thought that was clear. I thought the amount asked from taxpayers.
Oh, I mean, on the front page, it's not clear. They don't really read past the front page.
But I think the concept of increase in spending, because it is an increase in spending.
Yeah.
5.6.
I think people were trying to say that was being convoluted and that.
Yeah.
You know.
Can I just, this is for another day. I don't know if it's appropriate to talk about it now, but I'll put it out. I think we always get frustrated because people, maybe not a lot of people come to the public meetings and things like that, but maybe we should have budget workshops that is how we make a, but not like the specifics of doing, making the budget.
No, it's not.
But
we were supposed to have something with the seniors and they canceled it for lack of interest.
Right.
Yeah.
And they are usually the ones that you would think have the time to come to something mm-hmm. like this at their mm-hmm. convenience. Yes, Bob.
Yeah, after a while, you get a little bit cynical.
Yeah, I already am a steer too.
You can't help it. You know, it's because the fact of the matter is, and my over two decades of experience with this stuff indicates to me that people are not going to spend the time to educate themselves about the budget. They're going to vote on what they feel at the moment.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I think we need to kind of get to
yeah.
work here, and that is to figure out what we're going to do.
Because we have to do something.
Yeah, and I think the taxpayers have spoken, not by very many, not by much of a margin, but I think that we can make some. Reduction in the amount of money that we're projecting to spend. And I think the threshold question we need to ask before we move on would be one that could be directed toward Kristen and Jim, presumably. And that would be, before we move on, are there any additional revenues, Jill, are there any additional revenues that we might be able to recognize at this point that would help us get down the road?
I don't believe that you can do that at this point.
No.
No?
It has to be a reduction
too late.
Of cost.
Too late?
It's too late,
okay.
Bobby, right?
Too late. Whatever we recognize as revenue, that's it. That's what we
correct.
We can, you can
done,
maybe
so
recognize it
okay.
when you set the mill rate, but you can't.
Right. I was going to say, so you,
right.
I had a conversation with Jill about this. You cannot
right.
officially recognize any increased revenue for next year, but you can theoretically set a lower mill rate than you would have knowing that you're going to get
right.
more revenue.
Right.
So it won't be on the official documents, but
yeah.
we can't. So like, if we knew there was going to be more revenue, we could potentially reduce the budget by a dollar, right? Like, because theoretically we know there's more revenue, but we
right.
can't officially
no.
But optically, that's hard to get that passed.
And you can't, and then how do you explain that too as part of the budget?
You might as well just say you're gonna have three referendums.
Correct, yeah, correct.
I mean, that's a given.
To try to explain that.
Well, and I think you have to consider, we're also gonna need to give back money towards the following year's budget. We're still in that cycle. We haven't broken that cycle, so that's gonna be a need.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bob?
So anyway, okay, so my first effort in trying to find some money has failed appropriately. Let me go on and make a suggestion as to what we might do. It's gonna start with a question, it's normal, right? And this question would go toward Kristen. I think in the meeting, last meeting of the week before, you indicated that there were some additional money savings, and I think that mainly came out of insurance that we did not recognize at the time. And I believe it was $39,000.
No, yes, you did. It was recognized.
It was.
$31,000 and some odd dollars.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I did.
And I think Rhea was gonna mention that too, so.
Okay. And we have reconfirmed, at least from my thinking, that the contingency fund is now at 100,000.
Correct.
I think in order to make it meaningful, that we need to come up with something that's, you know, in excess of 100 or you know, close to a couple $100,000.
That's my question.
I won't approve anything that's at least close to 500,000 reduction.
Oh, okay. So I didn't know what would be meaningful, to be honest.
Can I give some context?
That's meaningful.
All right, let me just finish my...
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were done.
No, I wasn't even close.
I haven't sat with you long enough on the board.
So anyway...
He's just winding up.
I'm gonna suggest that when we look at the Board of Education spending pattern, and it's pretty consistent, and I have been watching it through the years, and as I've said, I mainly focus on the salaries and benefits. I'm still of the belief that there's an additional $100,000 on that side of the equation that we could reduce the Board of Education request for new funds by that much, about $100,000. I think that we can come up with, as I mentioned earlier or three meetings ago, that I really had been uncomfortable with the contingency fund being only at 25,000, but it was necessary to get there. So I'm gonna also suggest that we could reduce the contingency fund by 50,000. That would get us 150,000. And I'm open to suggestions as to what else we might be able to come up with to add to that reduction in the budget request.
Yeah.
But that, those are two things I see. Mm-hmm. I see 150,000 that we can recognize, that we could do something with as far toward a reduction. And some of it may have to come, unfortunately, from the monies that we've set aside for construction, which we desperately need to do.
Yeah.
Amanda?
So in anticipation of this conversation and based on some of the feedback from the public, right? So they felt like the 29% average was not accurate because it wasn't accurate just for residential properties, right? It was accurate across the whole, right? So the median increase in residential properties was 40%, median, not average, right? Some were below, some were higher, right?
Median,
but the
increase
median,
in
home value.
Assessment
home value.
Right. So I changed our impact chart, right? And I said, what would it take to get those people to no increase?
Mm-hmm.
The people who had the median increase.
Median.
Yep. That would require us to cut $1,090,000 from the budget, which would be 4% of our entire budget. That's a lot of money.
Which
it would reduce us from a 5.62% increase down to a 1.23% increase overall. So then I said, what if we just took out the extra contingency and extra money we put in capital reserve?
That's what
so that's about, it would be $475,000. That gets that person with the median average increase in their assessment anywhere from 235 annually more to 704 annually more on the high end. Like for a small home, it would be about 235 more a year. larger home, $704 a year. So still an increase, but smaller than, right now, what I get with that median value is about 1,200 more on the high end and 415 more on the low end. So those are kind of some benchmarks for what it'll do for people who have the median increase.
So I suppose,
So
no, go ahead.
I was gonna say, so I suppose ballpark, I do agree, then we probably have to target at least for that 500.
Or,
I see where you get that
from. Yeah, 475, 500 is the same number. And if you use 475, and quite frankly, I feel, you know, when you do a budget cut, as much as I hate to do my cut myself, it's fair. Everybody gets cut. Mine would be your 100,000 Board of Ed, 50 off of contingency, 25 town, which is one quarter of what the Board of Ed, kind of comparable to what their budget differential is, and then 300,000 off of
Kappa.
How much off of Kappa?
300.
Three. So you'd be at 475.
Yeah.
No, that's,
yeah,
that's
I, and I and I see and understand where you're coming from, Bob, on that. Unfortunately for us and the lack of understanding of the budget and what is necessary to run this town on the behalf on part of the taxpayers means it's just such a hard sell to come up with increases when they see that we're doing so we're actually in a lot of regards doing well. However, we have to bite the bullet at some point here. We have to build.
Yes, and
I'm telling you, I'm going to tell you right now in public.
Not even build, fix.
When I walk out of this building at night after we've had a meeting,
yeah,
with my asthma and sinuses, I am in a world of hurt.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that I'm saying this in public, but that's it.
Well, that's how we lived and worked for years in the old building, the registrars and the finance department.
And
it's not right.
It's not right. So I would... You know, say I would say let's take maybe half of that on the reduction. You need to get down the road.
So
we need to get down the road and have seed money that will actually decrease the long term need.
For
building, we just have to do this.
So there's a couple of ways that. So what I'm hearing so far, there's like, I'm just going to simplify it. You can cut our operating expenses, of which the contingency is a part, or you can cut our future expenses, which is, you know, the monies we've set aside for, you know, repair and maintenance of our buildings and facilities, or you can do a split of the two. And so I guess the, you know, the question is, you know, what's the balance on that? Because, and you could do any one of them, and it's which works best, and also with your understanding, the collective understanding we have here is the voters do not really understand what is going on with the budget. They have some numbers set in their head, which is not based on reality. And so how much do you do to, I shouldn't say all the voters, I'll specify a lot of the voters with the negative comments that we've, you know, been hearing, do not fully understand what is needed to run a town and plan for the future. And so I think that's the challenge we have. So how much do we knowingly cut and screw the future or make the future harder? And, or, you know, or what do we do? I'm very concerned, as you are, Bob, about, you know, shortchanging the future, because part of what we tried to do with this budget was to keep the ask for the individual more or less even, you know, give them some relief and not have to, like, this year it's way down and next year it's way up, and they will completely forget that it was way down last year. And so, you know, but how do you, you know, so that's what part of the philosophy we had was, is let's try to keep what we asked the, you know, the voters for even, so that they are not getting whipsawed and that they have, you know, can plan better for themselves, and we as the town can plan better. So they would be the driving force, is to try to keep that ask of the taxpayers about even, because it benefits business and it benefits the, you know, the private property owners. Just, if you don't know what it's going to do up and down, you know, from year to year, that's very hard for long-term planning. Mr. Mora.
Good points. But so let's look at some of the budgets and put in perspective to what you said, looking forward, because I fully concur that we should always look at least 2 years when we look at these things, and we're trying to do that this time. One of the things that I'm looking at, I'm more familiar with the town budget than I am with the Board of Ed budget. On the town budget, the most significant increases were just two. Everything else was insignificant.
No, trash and the registrars and elections.
So if we brought the trash level up to where we're going to be anticipating the levels to be for a while, I mean, we should be moderate increase from this point. So we should not anticipate a significant increase in that killer one.
I wonder what would happen if we cut our trash pickup down to once every 2 weeks?
Then you have just as much trash. So it won't make any difference. I mean,
it would show the residents the benefit of what they're getting, right? Like, I have this in my personal career, right? Like, where I'm a nonprofit, we're not getting the money, but if we keep doing the job as well as we have been, we're not going to get the money. Something's got to give. Like, people are going to have to lose something in order to understand that there are things to lose. We saw that with, unfortunately, the school system and our, you know, middle school language. And some people are still upset about that, rightly so. But, like, if we're not, I don't know. You know, I'm torn on both sides, right? We want to keep up the same level of services to the town, but at some point, if people don't feel the pinch, they're going to keep voting this way.
Well, my point is that with what we've done today, or what the town has budgeted for, does do that. Does
it keeps everything?
Does stabilize.
Yeah.
All right. So we're able to make it work. Looking forward to next year. You never know what's going to hit, what's going to go forward, what's not. will we have the same surplus? I doubt it. We probably not. That was quite unusual.
The interest.
We probably will have a similar surplus in our, well, not surplus, but revenue from our interest rate that we've accumulated.
Yeah. Because we're starting off 60, right?
Yeah, because we're starting off at a real high rate now.
Yes.
Even if it drops a little bit, we should still be at the $500,000 probably plus. So that's a good thing. On the capital side, I know we had set aside, that's in a category for dealing with all of this. One of the main things of town offices, that's what's going to be the next building, which looking forward, the thought was, and I think still the only way you can do it is when you have a significant amount of retired debt, which is about 7 years out, that's when you can afford to bond and do it out. In tying it in, you're also bonding where we have two roofs to do. I mean, that's just a matter of a fact. It's not a want, it's a need, and that's factored in too. So that's all there. This additional money is really, for me, I saw it as an aid to carry us, to get us to that point,
yeah,
to deal with what it takes to keep these buildings up to a level where when we transition, we're not living in a tent.
Right, and it's also a cushion of the fact that if we do not get this economic return and, you know, benefits that we have this year in the future, you have that money there set aside to help cushion some of the fact, you know, some of the maintenance work or improvement work we
exactly
need to do, so you're not asking people for more at
right
that time.
Right, no, I agree. I mean,
so,
and that's why these are not easy decisions.
No, that's why I want to have this discussion so that we understand fully what we're asking each other to do. And so also the public understands that we have this discussion and that there's, you know, nobody gets everything that they want when you do a budget and what's the best balance. Bob?
So I'm going to make a suggestion after listening to what Bob said, which is obviously based on even more years of experience with this stuff than I have, and actually generations.
Okay, let me get my cane here, huh?
No, 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 I mean, I mean, your family's involved.
Yeah, we got first side voting for Bob, next time he comes, Nora, the next time he comes to vote.
What is your?
No, 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 I'm just joshing you.
Okay, so anyway, here's my suggestion. I mentioned the $100,000 reduction in the Board of Ed request for new dollars. Bob suggested $25,000 reduction in that from the town side. I would agree that that's appropriate. That's $125. $50,000 of less contingency, $175. And I would suggest maybe $175,000 reduction in the money we put aside for capital. That would get us to $350,000. And I think that's a really
and hope it passes.
Significant cut. I'm sorry?
And hope it passes on the next.
Right,
because
otherwise, I mean, we're gonna get right down, we'll be right back to where we were. So we need a compromise between the more informed people such as this board, okay, and the Board of Selectmen, the Board of Education. The people who are involved in trying to in administering this town. And one thing I want to assure the taxpayers of, which is something I think that Ross heard, I've been running for 40 years here, more actually. And money in this town being spent by this government is judicious. It is monitored. It is specific, yeah. and for its intended purposes.
Yeah.
So I'm suggesting that we go with, as I said, 100, 25, 50, and 175. That would get us to 350,000 reduction, and it would still actually, if we can get that passed, that still leaves us at least some seed money to get going here on some of these projects and being able to minimize our future costs.
So I have another, not to challenge what you said and just to counter, which is, as we said, we are dealing with a hardcore of voters that, you know, are not coming forth to learn about the budget, but working from preconceived notions. We will never, ever please that group. And I agree with you 100%, Bob, because in my time involved with town government, there is no one that I have seen, Democrat, Republican, unaffiliated, or whatever, who is not a fiscal conservative. Everybody that is, you know, is, we're all fiscal conservatives that I've seen who manage money within, you know, the town, you know, government. So my question then is how much do we kowtow to a minority, and how much of it is that, we're they have their point of view and we should respect it, but how much of that is, do you want to do a, I'm just throwing it out there, because the other option is you do a reduction of some sort, and not a token, but not as big as what Bob said, and you get the vote out and you try to get it done in the next one. I'm just saying, how much do you want to keep playing? We have the same discussion of how much you want to keep playing.
I was going to say, you've had that conversation the last 3 years, as long as I've been listening to you and participating.
Yes, and that's why I want to bring it up again, is because how much do you want to play the game?
If I may, just before you go there, I just wanted to, if you use Bob's number, what does it really mean? It means a reduction in whatever mill rate you put forward of about 0.55, somewhere in that 0.52. That's a significant drop. That, to me, that's the point. That's the point you have to bring forward. What does this mean on your mill rate? And whatever it is, it means it's gonna, it whatever mill rate we have to do, this would reduce it by 0.5. I did a quick math, but probably 0.52, 0.53.
It'll go from 33.42 to 32.74. So, yeah.
So, So I would like to know what we lose. I'd like to know what the school system.
You don't, we don't get to choose that.
No, I know, but I would, I think that people should know. I mean, I would like to know.
I think it also helps get people back out to vote as well.
Yeah.
And they get to see what it translates to, for sure.
I mean, from the town, from the Board of Education, I think.
They won't communicate about it at this point.
Okay.
I don't think, right, Kristen?
Is that factual? Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Right.
Yep, cannot.
No.
At this point now, until there's a number, the board really can't take action. You can't take action now until there's a set number and then.
So when we pick a number, when we pick a number, Kristen, then the board will be able then to.
When you say pick a number, Rhea.
Well, pick an amount, a reduction.
Not until the budget passes.
Not until it passes. At this point.
Right, it's the board.
The Board of Ed isn't in a position to be able to make reductions because we don't have a number yet.
It was done before as part of the budget proposal.
Rhea's question was what happened last year, because what I had, you know, I had asked people to consider before we started, you know, before we came up with the numbers, what would various levels of budget reductions impact? And the Board of Education came up with a list of potential impacts from budget cuts. The Board of Selectmen chose not to go that route. So that's, you know, I'm not saying which was right or wrong, but that's, you know, where we were. And that approach did get more voters out, you know. So.
But to be honest, though, using that approach every year, it almost, people then tune out.
It'll defeat the purpose.
It becomes like scare tactics, you know, which is why the Board of Ed had never done that before. But I think last year, and looking at what we were looking at, and because of inflation and the fact that we hadn't kept up with it in a decade, two decades, we had to play catch up somewhere.
Yeah. Amanda.
Now, Jim, I know, you know, we can't do any revised revenue, right, at this point. But do we have a sense on the town side where we're going to come in at the, like, a projected end of year expenditure and whether there's going to be givebacks or not, or how much? Because at this point, we should have some idea.
There isn't going to be much. I mean, you'll find at your next meeting that we have several transfers that we're going to ask the finance committee to approve, because we are moving money all over the place to cover the shortage in the trash.
For refuse, yeah.
The trash.
Okay. So I don't think there's going to be there's probably going to be a little bit in everybody's budget, and that's going to add up to a real number, but it's not going to be a tremendous amount.
Yeah.
But I'm just trying to make the point that, like, we're coming in pretty close to budget. There's
very
not
close.
A lot of fat to.
No, not at all.
And so as far as the town is concerned, we're already at the point that some voters wanted us to be, with nothing to give back. And it's lucky we did have that surplus to cover the trash cold. You know, we did have a little money built in to cover this, you know, issue with the trash, which came up.
Yeah, a mild winter, and that impacted both buildings and grounds and highway. And we transferred a significant amount of monies to offset, what was it, $100,000? Jim, what's the difference? This last
for
one.
What?
It's trash.
The trash.
For trash.
We don't know what burned.
Yeah, we estimate it's going to be about $70,000 shortfall.
Okay, sounds a little high. Say 70 grand. If that hadn't happened, might well have been surplus. I mean, really.
Yeah. And we're lucky that we had it.
We had it.
That we had contingencies built into individual budgets that we could then consolidate to cover the trash.
Exactly. Thank you, God, for giving us a mild winter. But
each of these referendums increases our already increased election budget.
Yeah.
This one will be in this year's budget, which may or may not fall into our budget.
And the next one will be as well, and that's about
$10,000
there.
Yeah,
we have this one on the 22nd.
Oh, okay. I'm talking about the other one already.
4th.
Okay.
And then the next one goes into the next fiscal year if we go there. Yes.
We can't mess with the town budget, the town side, too much, because they already made an adjustment for the basically because we're having more mild winters. And yes. So they've decreased the amount of money
in the line items.
In the line item right. of mm-hmm. yeah. highway roads and highways. And we're still vulnerable there. You know, it's not necessarily going to stay that way, am I?
Mm-hmm.
But we just can't.
The weather's got more unpredictable, to your point. It could be mild, 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 then you're in northern Maine, and then it's back to mild.
And then you
mild,
get a hurricane, and there we are.
Right. Yeah, it's so, shifting, yeah. The weather is shifting, yeah. Not necessarily getting better.
And I don't know how, if we can do it, or if there's anything that we can say. It probably isn't anything that we can say, like as Kristen was saying, try to impress upon the taxpayers that, yeah, we put aside some money here to try to move our town forward as compared to just treading water, which is what we've been doing for years. And this is an opportunity to actually take a step or two forward,
mm-hmm.
and have some money left over where we can eventually commit that to getting some of the big projects done that we need done
at a cheaper mm-hmm. rate, because we have some money for grants and we also have some of the capital expense set aside.
And what we do, say what we have here, yeah. What we do tonight, positively impacts next year's budget, because We're planning some offsets for next year, this year. Okay. Whatever, I mean, if that $400,000 hadn't been in there, that's a cushion, believe it or not, whether you like it or not. In next year's budget, if all hell breaks loose, that number could be taken out and brought back to just the 1 mil that you're required to have. I mean,
we can't take out this year's allocation.
But that's in there. But that's already factored in. It's already built in the budget. So you can make that reduction for the following year. I mean, I'm thinking worst case scenarios, but that's something that's there. But if you don't do that, then you're doubly screwed. I mean, you don't have the surplus, and you don't have things like that.
And if you go around and have to go and keep asking people for money, come back for a supplemental, you know, assessment.
Or a death knell.
Or whatever. It's like a death knell. And this is like the other thing too, is preserving our bond rating so we can get money as cheaply as we can.
Right.
And you don't want to start having financial crises that then affect our bond rating. No. Anyway, I want to recognize Rodney Fournier, who is the patiently.
Every time she starts, I open my mouth. Rodney, I'm sorry. I apologize.
First selectman wants to say something for the audience.
I just want everybody to make sure that they understand that if our deal with the bank is to have $5 million in there at a given time, that's our interest rate. Once we go below that rate, what happens? That number. Are they going to give us any interest at all? What happens to it? It goes way down. You can lose $20,000 in a month because you've dropped below that number.
But we got a report from Jill for the finance committee, right? That showed that we haven't really dipped below that threshold in a while.
You have to be careful that you're not knocking $1 million out of this, because that may be the difference next year at this time.
You mean in tax revenue?
Yeah. Well, that actually is a good point, because if you do take the tax revenue out, then you may possibly fall below that threshold where we get the money.
That's important, so we earn less.
Yeah, because we tried to save, you know. It's also, I think, that...
Well, we'll have the surplus dollars in there. It should offset.
Well, everything's in there now.
We won't have the ARPA money left in there. We currently have about $1.5 million in ARPA funding, which is going to go away once we do our demo project.
Right. Once we what?
Do the demo project.
Mm. So just keep that in the back of your mind. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's an important number.
More of the reason.
What box do we want to paint ourselves into?
There you go.
I would leave a decent warrant capital and try to cut some current budget spending.
You mean operating expenses?
More than the 175, or let, cut less than the 175 Bob was proposing, or more?
I think that's fine. I'm comfortable with that.
And I'm
Reasonable.
And I'm comfortable with taking the 50,000 out of the contingency.
That's fine.
Don't want it.
I don't want to.
I don't like to do anything.
Because I don't think it's a good idea long-term, but let's take it down to, you know, we can take it down to 50.
Yeah.
So what numbers do we have now? We have 50, what are we talking about, Kappa?
175.
175.
I guess 175 out of that?
Can I turn your proposal into a motion?
And then what else, what other funding were we talking about?
100,000 the Board of Ed, 50,000.
Board of Ed.
For contingency, 25 from the Board of Selectmen.
And 175 capital.
I'll make that a motion.
So that's the, that adds up to 375?
We have a motion, do we have a second?
Second.
We can discuss. So a motion made by Bob Mora, seconded by Bob Monroe. Discussion, Rio, you were going to say something.
I was looking at the two numbers and I wasn't getting all the numbers that you said, so. So you're talking about the 350?
Yep.
Which was your recommendation, correct? I mean, I don't want to go, I'd rather go lower than higher, honestly.
So what is your?
Yeah, because we're cutting off our nose to spite our face.
We may be back here, that's, I mean, that.
Cutting off our nose to spite our face.
Yeah.
And also playing to one group that, you know, is controlling everything. We have basically, we have 3,800 registered voters in Bolton. Under 1,000 showed up, about 900 effectively showed up, 900 and change showed up. And then of that, you have like 500 of that out of 3,800 voters deciding. And it's usually the same 500.
I do think we're going to have to send out like an actual budget mailer next year.
We got a 14% number.
So.
So controlling the.
What's important, I raise my hand. What's important is two things. What you mentioned, and two, you have to present something that will carry the day, that will bring out enough positive voters. And quite frankly, flip some of the no voters. And I, and that's why, when I'm looking at this thing, that number is, when you look, looking at it and how it impacts your pocket, 0.5, a drop in the mill rate of 0.5 is a pipe.
0.68.
0.68?
That's what 350 is.
And that's a significant amount of money. And I mean, you can, anyone can understand that. You can go and pull your assessments up and figure out how much that money that saves you. And to me, that's a substantial amount. For some people, it's, I'm sure it isn't enough. But as everyone here else has said, we have a fiduciary trust. We also have to think about not only this year, next year, and the town's operation, and the school's operation, all on the board's shoulders. And so you make a decision that, trying to balance all those interest rates. And this is about as close as I think we can go and do that, and successfully do that. I mean, that's my opinion.
I obviously share that opinion. In large part, it was, you know, what I was proposing, with the exception of the reduction of the cap town. But I think that it should go a long way to doing exactly what you said, Robert. And that would be to get, swing some of those no votes and maybe bring out a few. We don't have many votes that we actually have to, 50 vote margin, you know, let's not shortchange the town's future, you know, without a fight.
I'm trying it, yeah.
Right, and every taxpayer benefits.
Yeah.
By a reduction in.
Is there any further discussion?
There's some theory too, that, you know, people come out and vote and say, nope, they just took their first swag at it. Let's let them take a reduction. So there's some mental element of that as well.
So I am going, we're going to propose, how much was this, three?
I've already done.
So we haven't voted on it yet.
You're such a pain in the neck, you already filled in the question.
It's a good pain in the neck to have.
Why do math on paper when you have Excel?
I just want to make sure I can still do it. So anyway, any further discussion? And I'm looking around the room and we have no voters online. So I will just ask all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Abstentions? Then the motion carries unanimously by the members of the Board of Finance present. So then our next item on the agenda will be to consider and possibly act on the ballot question. So I would like a motion from Amanda, who does math faster than I do, and she uses Excel.
I'll make a motion to approve the ballot question as follows. Shall the annual budget for the town of Bolton, Connecticut for the fiscal year 2025, as recommended by the Finance Committee in the amount of $25,873,099, be adopted?
Do I have a second?
Second.
So I think Bob Moore got his hand up before Bob Monroe said anything, so I'll have a second by Bob Monroe. Any further discussion? Seeing none in the room, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? The motion carries unanimously by those members of the Board of Finance present. So, looking at the other additions of things under new business, the only thing would be to consider and possibly act on an additional meeting date, and I think the only one to act on right now would be a June 4th, not June 4th, June 5th meeting at 7:15 in the town hall or whatever place is available.
Okay.
Do I have a motion to that effect?
So
Bob Moore made the motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Bob Monroe. Any further discussion? What? What? Go ahead.
It's kind of not a, it's, yeah, I know. It's not exactly on topic, but I think that sending out a reminder on June 4th via Everbridge would be allowed based on the wording that is on our town website for how Everbridge should be used, which does not say it's for emergencies, it says it's for important town things. And I think this is important town things. So I think we should do a reminder, get out the vote through Everbridge. We'll consider it.
We'll have to select and consider that and do something with it.
It's not a bad idea.
We are still in the discussion of the additional meeting date. Anything further on that? Seeing none specific to that, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Ross, I believe the board clerk has her hand up.
Oh, board clerk, you got your hand up. I missed it. Sorry.
That's okay. I just need clarifications. The meeting scheduled for the 4th or the 5th of June?
It's for the 5th.
5th
at 7:15. Town hall or whatever place is available. Hybrid meeting, both Zoom and in person.
Okay, thank you.
Can I just confirm that then the second referendum is June 4th? She may want to have that in her notes too.
Yes, second referendum is, that referendum is June 4th.
The signs are already up. How sad.
And I will send a note into the town staff requesting the special meeting date and all those other good things. Repeated this agenda with a new question attached to it, and hopefully don't have to do it. What?
We could have set them up here.
Oh, that's true.
Okay.
So I'll call a motion to adjourn.
Go ahead.
Although.
What? Amanda has a question, so we don't want to adjourn. As long as we can find some way to make sure it is on topic. So
nope,
our
mill rate is still over the capped rate. If we go below the capped rate, we would
be setting aside. No, we're not below the capped rate at all.
We're almost there.
Almost. We're not there.
Okay.
Just checking.
So motion to adjourn.
Yeah.
Okay, made by Amanda, seconded by several people. I will pick Ashley, so the meeting is adjourned at 8:19. Thank you, everyone.
All right.
Thank you.
Take care, guys. Good effort.
Yep.
I'm gonna